Well, precious souls, this is the Wednesday edition of Challenge, and this message is at the moment primarily for our radio congregation. I may get around to teaching it to our local people here, but for today, it's for our radio congregation. Before I pray, go ahead and open your Bible, if you can, to 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11. Verses 7 to 36, dealing with moving the ark back to Jerusalem, moving it up to Jerusalem. But we're going to look at several things that apply to each of our lives. And I wish you'd take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart today, to make real to you that which He would make real to you, that He would bring you illumination, understanding, enlightenment where it's needed, and that where it's needed, He will bring you correction. And I want you to understand this, people of God. This nation is in trouble. And the problem lays at the front door of the church. We have failed to be the salt. We have failed to be the light. We have compromised. We have, in many respects, violated the Word of God and the character of Christ. So I want you to agree with me while I pray. I'm going to confess the sins of this nation. I'm going to confess the sins of the church. And I'm going to ask you to agree with me as we go before the throne of God in intercessory prayer on behalf of this nation and the bride of Christ, the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The Word of God makes it very clear. And I fear that in too many instances, the bride has been unfaithful. Too many instances, the bride has been unfaithful. If you're concerned for the nation and about the nation, would you please join me as I go before the throne of God in prayer? Heavenly Father, I come before your throne on behalf of the kingdom of God and this nation. And Father, I'm asking you to do whatever it takes to bring correction to this nation. Father, we have embraced so much as a nation that is ungodly and unholy. Father God, we have violated your word in every conceivable way from every level of life in this nation. And Father, so much of the church has compromised. So much of the church has compromised the word of God in trying to fit in with what the nation has become and is becoming more. Father God, I am asking you to penetrate the community of homosexuality. I am asking you to penetrate the community of the transgender generation, those who have been deceived. I am asking you to penetrate the darkness of sodomy. I am asking you to penetrate the darkness of those expressions of religion that deny the reality of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And yet, Father, there are some who represent or who identify or who acknowledge Jesus, your death, your burial, and your resurrection, but they misrepresent how one gets to know you. And I'm asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to burn out the chaff. I'm asking you to purge and purify the church, the true church. Father, there is the religious organization in the nation, and there are religious organizations in the nation, but there's only one church, a church, the bride of Christ. Those who have been to the cross, confessing their sinners, asking Christ in childlike faith to come into their heart, be their Lord, be their Savior, understanding that only the blood of Christ, your blood, Jesus, can cleanse us from our sins. Father, there's so much misunderstanding. There's so much deception. The enemy has crept into the field of religion, Father, and has deceived so many, has perverted so much. So we're asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit, penetrating the darkness of religion and those religious movements that are misrepresenting the gospel, misrepresenting the kingdom of God. And we're asking you, Father, to bring forth out of those religious communities, those who you know at some point in time will understand the truth, come to the light, be born again, and be adopted into the family of God. We're asking you to bring them forth from that religious organization they're a part of and bring them into the body of Christ, the church, the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God. And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, and verse 11, and as I've entitled this, Seeking the Lord. And that's exactly what our text tells us to do. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Not just on Sunday or sometime during the week, but continually. This should be a continuum in the life of every believer. Everyone who professes Christ to be their Lord and their Savior. We should constantly be seeking not just Him, His face, but seeking to know Him better, seeking intimacy with Him. If I were to ask you, now be honest with me, this is between you and God, okay? But between you and the Lord, let me ask you this. Are you seeking the Lord? Truly, really? Are you seeking the Lord? And if so, how would you answer that? How would you answer that question? When I say to you, are you seeking the Lord? How are you going to answer that? Are you seeking Him daily? Are you seeking Him in the Word? Are you seeking to get to know Him, His heart, His mind, what He expects of you, what He wants of you, what He desires of you? Are you seeking to know Him, not just His hand, what He can do for you, but to know Him? Are you seeking His face? Are you seeking His heart? Are you seeking His leadership, His lordship in your life? Are you? Or are you just going through the religious routine? Are you one of those who claim the name of Christ, but you're just going through a religious routine? Sunday after Sunday, perhaps once or twice during the week? How much time do you spend daily in the Word of God? Seriously. How much time do you spend in communion with Him in prayer? I mean, really, truly sharing your heart with Him, interceding on behalf of others, your family, the nation, the kingdom of God. How much time would you say that you spend in His presence? Really, truly interceding. The text today, they're getting ready to move the ark to Jerusalem. Now, don't lose sight of the fact that the questions I just asked you, because you see, the ark had been positionalized outside Jerusalem for some time. It's now going to be moved into Jerusalem, and it's going to be finding itself in the temple. My question to you is this. In chapter 16, verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. You have a people here who really wanted Christ. They wanted the presence of God. They wanted God in their midst. The King David. David wanted God in the midst. He wanted God in the midst of the government. He wanted God leading and guiding and directing and blessing and empowering. Do you want that? How much of the church wants that today? We're seeing a lot of compromise. We're seeing a lot of moving away from the Scripture. We're seeing a more secularism coming into the church. And we're seeing the church drift away. And the church, you must remember this, is the bride of Christ. In many respects, she has become an unfaithful bride. She's unfaithful. And the Word speaks of that. Today, we're going to deal with verse 11. Of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, moving the ark to Jerusalem. You see, the presence of the ark represented the presence of God. Let me ask you this. If you did not know the Lord and were going to seek the Lord, where would you start? You see, There are people listening to this broadcast today who are religious, but they really don't know the Lord. So let me ask you once again. For those who do not know the Lord, where would you go to seek the Lord? And for those of you who know the Lord, where would you go to get to know Him better? Some say, well, I go to church, and I basically am involved in the church. I go to church, and I listen to what is taught, and I'm involved in the church. I'm involved in ministry in the church. I'm involved in various activities of the church. Let me ask you this. How much time do you spend in the Word? Do you know the Word? Do you spend time in the Word of God? Do you know someone who knows the Lord? If you don't know the Lord, do you know someone who knows the Lord? And if you know the Lord, do you know someone who does not know the Lord? There are those of you who do not know the Lord, but you know someone who does know the Lord, and you could seek guidance from them as to how you might come to know the Lord better. And there are those of you who know the Lord, but you know people who do not know the Lord, and you could be beneficial to them in helping them coming to know the Lord. How would you help someone else find the Lord? And let me ask you this. If you were a prodigal, you know, we have the parable of the prodigal in the scripture where the prodigal went into his dad and said, I want that which belongs to me. He wanted to go out and taste the world. He wanted to experience the world. And so his father gave him his part of the inheritance. Well, he went out into the world, wasted his substance in riotous living, found himself needful, hired himself out to take care of pigs on a pig farm, until he finally came to his senses, feeding the pigs one day, and he said, these pigs eat better than I do. I'm going home to my father. And I'm talking to some people today that, like that prodigal, you need to come home to the Father. You see, this message is all about seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. The Word of God says in 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength and His face continually. You see, you don't have to look very hard to start finding God in the sense that He exists, because God is obvious in His creation. But then you've got the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God. You've got God revealed in His Word. In the Word of God, you've got His history with mankind. You've got the coverage of His history, His dealing with mankind in the Word of God. Then you've got His dealing with Israel, the nation of Israel. You got to remember, Abraham himself was not a Jew. Abraham was not a Jew. He became what we call a Jew. He became the father of the nation of the Jews. But God had to have a people through whom He could express Himself and reveal Himself to the rest of the world. He chose a man, Abram, who we know as Abraham, and through that man came a son, and through that son came two sons, and through one of those sons came the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And it was through the nation of Israel that God was going to reveal Himself to the other nations of the world. So you have to understand, go back to the very beginning of His Word. Go back to the Word and see how God started dealing with mankind initially, originally. Understand this, I've told you before, there were about 2,500 years there before there was any law to be obeyed. Man had to abide by his conscience. His conscience was saying, this is right, that's wrong. And God let man abide by his conscience for some 2,500 years until he got the nation formed. He got the Word. So we get into all that. And now we find the history of man. In the history of man, we find God dealing with Israel. We find God revealing Himself, and we find the revelation of Himself in His covenant. God not only revealed Himself in His covenant, and He gave His covenant. He started with Abraham. He went into Israel. The sacrificial system, the Old Testament, all of that is involved in the Old Testament. How God chose a man, and from that man brought forth a nation, and that nation became known as Israel. And then through that nation, he established the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. He revealed himself to them, and he gave them a series of laws they were to obey. He wanted relationship with them, but through the giving of the law, he revealed to them that he was holy God. He was holy, holy, holy God. Then he set up the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. And every sacrificial animal died looking at Calvary. Died, if you will, symbolically speaking, looking towards that time that the ultimate sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, slain from before the foundation of the world, would be offered on an altar called the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There had to be a sinless, willing blood sacrifice. In the Old Testament, all of those sacrificial animals that I've taught you so many times, but folks, I keep reiterating this because so many in the church do not understand the principle, do not understand the scriptures, do not understand the doctrine of what one has to do to be born again, that their blood, there had to be a blood sacrifice, but it couldn't be just any blood sacrifice. It had to be the sinless, willing blood sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, Son of God, and yet God in the flesh. He was the ultimate sacrifice for sin, and it is only on the basis of one receiving him, believing in him, that one can be reconciled to holy God. That is why Jesus became incarnate. That is why God was incarnate in Christ Jesus, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Jesus, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Don't let that escape you. Remember, God exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And Colossians 2:9 tells us, in him, who? Jesus. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is revealed in all that he taught. This is revealed in his teaching. You see, that is why you need to be in the Word of God. You need to see what God taught. You need to let the Holy Spirit of God reveal to you the deeper meaning of everything that God taught, everything that Christ taught. You need to understand the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to start with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you need to come right on through it. And you need to understand more fully who God is, all God is, what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. And friend, you need to understand more fully than you ever have before what God is going to do. And understand this, no nation can go where we go, and the Bible is full of nations that tried to go where we have gone and suffered the consequences because they went where we are going. And we are further down the road to the track that some of them went than we need to be. We are in trouble, folks. As a nation, we are in trouble, and the trouble lays at the front door of the church. We the people of God, we're the ones who have access to the throne of God. We're the ones to be holy, godly, separated. We're to be salt. We're to be light. And in so many respects, we have failed to do that. And if you think I'm harping on this quite a bit these days, you are absolutely right. And guess what? I'm going to continue right on harping on him, because we, the people of God, we are the bride of Christ, and Christ is not coming back for a whole bride. Let me say that to you very clearly, very distinctly. Christ is not coming back for a bride that's in bed with the world. And that's where too much of the professed bride is right now. So much of the bride is in bed with the world, and you can hardly tell the difference between those who claim Christ and those who do not claim Christ in so many respects. So let's have no doubt about this. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, Word of God says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us. Who's us? The church. The church has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Folks, don't let that escape you. No, whatever you're doing right now, slow down and listen to me. This is the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:19. Once again, to wit, that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world. Notice, the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Understand this. The love of God is available to every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every race, every individual in the world. Now, God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not believe. He gave a blood sacrifice for those who would believe. But God knew from eternity past who would and who would not believe. He knows whether or not you are a professor of Christ or whether or not you are a possessor of Christ. You see, if you are a possessor of Christ, then you are trying to live a life that will honor Christ. You want to become more Christ-like every day of the world. You want the thoughts of your heart, the intentions of your heart, the thoughts of your mind. You want your practices. You want everything in your life to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to rebel against God. You want to submit and surrender to God if you're one of those. Once again, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He placed all the trespasses, all the sins of each and every one of us who would ever receive Christ, believe Christ, those sins were put to death in Jesus Christ on the cross. Our duty, as one who's been born again, whose sins have been put to death in Christ, our duty is to help others find him. We go back to our text. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. The Word of God says, seek the Lord. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you truly, honestly, day by day, seeking to know him better? Are you expressing your heart to him day by day? I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know you intimately. I want to know you personally. I don't want you to be some sort of abstract religious personage in my life. I want to know you. And I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to know your love and your mercy and your grace. And I want to be salt. And I want to be light. I want to be a preservative in this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world we live in. I want to be light in the darkness of this world. I want to be Christ-like in everything I am, everything I'm going to be. You have to understand something. Jesus is God in the flesh. And the Word of God says, seek the Lord and his strength. You see, he demonstrated his power. He demonstrated his power beginning with the flood. When mankind had become so sinful and so corrupt, and every thought of his heart was evil continually, and God sent a message for 120 years. For 120 years, Noah told him, God's going to judge the world. God is going to judge the world. Do you realize you had people working on the ark who were God haters themselves? Here is Noah, a preacher of righteousness, preaching to them, telling them the judgment of God is going to come, and nobody listened. Only his family listened, and one of them didn't turn out too well. But the point I'm making is this. God has demonstrated his power in the creation of the universe. He has demonstrated his power in the flood. He has demonstrated his power in acts of judgment, in acts of reconciliation. God has demonstrated his power time after time after time. When he got ready to deliver his people from Egypt, he demonstrated his power in a devastation of Egypt. He devastated the greatest nation on the face of the earth at that time. And folks, right now, we may pride ourselves on being the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and the history of the world shows us superpower after superpower after superpower that God dealt with, and they became nothing. They became just another nation, just another nation. And I'm telling you, folks, if we don't get this thing turned around, if the people of God do not come before the throne of God in repentance and intercessory prayer, not just individual repentance, but the repentance on behalf of the nation, what we have embraced, what we become, same-sex unions, transgenderism, the list goes on and on and on. It's not, God is not politically correct. I hate to bust your bubble, but God is not politically correct. God is God. He is holy God, and he's just as holy today as ever he was, and he's looking for a holy people, and those who claim his name as Lord and Savior, those who claim Christ as their Savior, are supposed to be holy people, a holy people. They're to be salt. They're to be a preservative in the society. They're to be light. They're to bring light into the darkness of the wickedness of this world, and we are failing in that respect. He has revealed his power. He's revealed his power, but then by the same token, proven his deliverance. He has proven his deliverance of his people, the protection of his people. Once he devastated Egypt, brought his people out of Egypt, then he protected and provided for his people for 40 years in the wilderness. When he brought them out of the wilderness, he brought them into the land they were going to occupy. The biggest obstacle they had was Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city, a truly stronghold, a fortified city. But yet, he just had them march around it, trusting in him, trusting in his power, trusting in his word, trusting in his might. And then on that last day when they walked around him and blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. The walls fell down and they went in and took the city, except for that one family that had befriended the spies. So you have to understand that God, we serve a God of unlimited power. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. We have not yet understood and conceived really the fullness of who God is and all that he is. We need to better understand our God, our Heavenly Father, and understand there's nothing too difficult for him. What about the resurrection from the dead? Now, he gave his people victory after victory after victory. He finally, in a demonstration of his power, resurrection from the dead. That is a demonstration of his power. Resurrection from the dead. He resurrected people in that day. He resurrects people. He will resurrect people in the future. Jesus himself resurrected some from the dead. Resurrected himself from the dead. Listen, of his power, there can be no doubt. None. The question is, have you experienced this power? Have you experienced the life-changing power of Jesus Christ? Have you experienced that which only Christ can give? The enablement, the empowerment to be to God and for God, all that God asks us to be and expects us to be, those of us who are his. Have you experienced his power? Have you? Have you? Without any doubt, have you experienced the life-transforming power of God through Christ Jesus, bringing you out of a life of bondage, sin, bringing you out of a life of ungodly, unholy living into a relationship with him? Have you been born again? You see, if you've been born again, you have to that degree experienced the power of God initially. Now, you need to continue on experiencing the power of God day by day in being salt, being light, and being who you are in Christ Jesus in this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world, as you've heard me say so many times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul had experienced the power of God. And what God had to do, in a sense, to keep him from being too puffed up, was bring some limitations to him. And Paul referred to that limitation was a thorn in the flesh. We're not all that sure exactly what that thorn was. We have some ideas. But the point is this. Paul, a human being, had experienced the power of God. He experienced, as best we can understand, he was caught up to the third heaven and saw things he couldn't even describe. Folks, that is waiting for us. You listen, with my last heartbeat, if you know Christ as your Savior, with your last heartbeat, it'll be goodbye world and hello heaven. Hello glory. Goodness gracious. Oh, folks, get a hold of what we're talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, Paul said, concerning this thorn in the flesh, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, look, I went before the throne of God in prayer three times. He gave me a thorn of flesh to keep me from becoming too exalted, too self-exalted. He gave me this thorn in the flesh, and I asked him three times to take it away. He said, no, you need that. You need that to keep you humble, Paul. I wonder how many of us have a thorn in the flesh that we need to keep us humble. I wonder how many of us have been humbled. I have. From time to time, I've been humbled by the Lord. I know that, and I thanked him for it. I want to be humbled before the Lord. We have to understand, folks, hear my heart. Each of us are an individual in the family of God, and each of us, God loves all of his children, every last one of us, and the cross proves that. But he is in the process of making us like Jesus. He is in the process of conforming us to Christ's likeness. And in that conforming process, sometimes there's some things that are not the least bit enjoyable, but are profitable. It may not be enjoyable, but is profitable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 again, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So you can say to the Lord, Lord, I'm weak. Perfect your strength in me. I'm looking for your strength. Empower me. Enable me. You can pray this, folks. You can go before the throne of God saying, Lord God, enable me, empower me to be Christ-like. Enable me and empower me to be to others, and empower me to die to myself, Lord. Empower me to die to myself so that you can express yourself through me to the rest of the world as to as many as you would express yourself through me. Do you understand? He is not limited in his ability to provide. Are you convinced beyond any doubt that he can meet every need that you have? Have you not experienced that in your life and your walk with him so far? I'm trying to help you better understand the fullness of all this. Listen, folks, those of us who have been born again, we've been adopted into the family of God. We are children of the Most High God. We have access to everything that God is. We have access to everything that God has. Why don't we avail ourselves to that? Why don't we go before the throne of God, submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and interceding on behalf of our family, ourselves, our nation, the world, the church in the world, in every nation of the world? What did Paul say to the church at Philippi? Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't be concerned about anything. Don't be worried. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Are you doing that? Are you anxious for something? Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You can go before the throne of your Heavenly Father. You can lay your requests before Him. You don't have to go through life worrying and concerned and doubting and fearful and full of anxiety. In Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased. Paul, this is Paul again to the church of Philippi. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But then what does Paul say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things. Paul had come through it. Paul had been persecuted, run out, stoned. Paul been through the stuff, folks. Paul had come through the stuff all because he was serving the Lord, all because he was preaching the gospel. But in Philippians 4:13, he says this to us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He's saying, I can absorb everything Satan brings against me. I can suffer any insult, any misunderstanding, any mistreatment. Can you say that? Can you say, I can suffer any insult, any mistreatment, any misunderstanding? I can put up with that if it means, if being salt and being light, if being faithful to Christ, being true to Christ, being a child of God, if it means I'm insulted, if it means that I have to suffer consequences because of that, are you still willing to do that? Are you willing to be identified with Christ regardless of what the cost may be? I can do all things. I can suffer all things. I can put up with all things. I can absorb all things. I can do all things. Do you realize that you can do anything and everything that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do and commands you to do? You look in the Word of God and you find out what God wants you to be, find out what God wants you to do, the kind of person He wants you to be, the kind of things He wants you to do, the kind of life He wants you to live, the things He wants you to abstain from, the things He wants you to embrace. And then once you determine, I will do that. I will do that, Father. I will embrace everything You want me to embrace. I will do anything You want me to do. I will be to You anything and everything You want me to be to You. Then He will enable you and empower you to be to Him and for Him everything He has told you to be for Him. Folks, this is reality. This is the Word of God. This is what it means. When you become one with Christ, when you're born again, you become one with Christ. You become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and you become a warrior. You become a warrior in the kingdom of God, because it's a battle, folks. We are in a battle. Every day of the world, we are facing the enemy of our souls. Every day of the world, Satan is trying to gain ascendancy in the church, and he has prevailed in too many respects. Satan has prevailed in getting into the church with his poison. Satan has prevailed in too many cases. And look at our nation. Look what's happened to our society. Look what's happened to our churches. Look what to many of our churches, not all of them, but to too many of them. Look what's happened to our educational system. Look, folks, at what is going on in the nation that is so ungodly and so unholy. We have in so many respects violated the Word of God and the character of Christ, and that did not go unnoticed in glory. God has taken note. God has taken note. And in His timing, unless we get this thing turned around through repentance and intercessory prayer, and I'll say to every preacher, every pastor, every man of God out there, you'd better be calling your people to prayer. You'd better be calling them to intercessory prayer. You'd better be praying on behalf of the nation. You'd better be praying for God to move in the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And I've told you before, and I'm saying it again, Christ is not coming back for a whore bride. He's not coming back for a bride in bed with the world. What's He going to have to do to get the bride out of the bed of the world? What's it going to take? Realistically, what is it going to take in this nation to get the bride of Christ out of bed with the world? What's it going to take to get her to be holy and clean and godly and pure and submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? What's it going to take? Folks, I'm telling you, the hour is here. The hour is here. Now let's go back to the Word again. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek to know Him. Seek His face. Seek His face and His strength. This is from our text now. Seek His strength. Seek His face continually. Too many times we're seeking His hand. He says, seek me. Seek my face. Get to know my face. What does His face tell us? His face expresses, gives, there's expressions in the face of God. It's holiness. It's purity. It's love. It's mercy. It's grace. And yet, folks, there's that part of our Heavenly Father who is judgment. There's judgment. But see, when he says seek his face, get to know him. Get to know the expressions in his face. You need that little check in the spirit when you're about something or about to do something or you're involved in something or saying something or thinking something that is not in alignment with his character and his word. You need to be sensitive to that little check. His hand, the provision of his hand, seeking his face. Before you seek his hand, before you seek what he can do for you, seek him. Get to know him. Say, Father, I want to know you. I want to know you intimately, personally, individually. I want to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. I want a check in the Spirit where I need a check. I want freedom in the Spirit where I need freedom. But get to know him. Too many times we seek his hand without seeking his face. We want to know the expression on his face. That smile, that love. That love that's in the eyes, that love that's in the face. Folks, do you understand? God so loved the world and everybody in it that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, God is love, but he's also a God of anger. He's holy God. And because he's holy God, he cannot countenance sin. He cannot put his stamp of approval on sin. Nations may do it. Governments may do it. And the church, to some degree, and some expression of religion have done it. They have placed their stamp of approval on that which God denounces. And we're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for it. I'm asking God to penetrate the religious organizations. They are religious organizations, but they're not part of the church, because the church is the blood-washed people of God, as I keep telling you. And the people of God want to please God. They want to obey God. They want to honor God. They want to serve God. They want to be salt. They want to be light. And they themselves are vexed with what this nation has become and is becoming. Seeking is a continuous process. When he said seek the Lord while he may be found. Seeking is a continuing process. Why are we seeking? What are you seeking when you seek God? Are you seeking something from him? Or are you seeking to know him? Which is it? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Are you seeking to get something from him? Or are you seeking to know him? But understand this. In your seeking, it is a continuous process. It's not something on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, or Sunday night. No, it is a continuous process. Day by day by day, you are seeking to know him better. You don't want to become flatlined in your relationship with him. You don't want that. You do not want to become flatlined. You want that day by day by day, that desire to know him and to know him better. How much better do you know him now than when you first met him? Now, come on, answer my question. How much better do you know him now than when you first met him? You see, too many times I've seen this in the church. They come to the altar, they receive Christ as their Savior, and then they walk back to the seat saying, okay, I'm good. Folks, come, and I'm going to tell you this again. You've heard me say it how many times? You came into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. And you grow from spiritual infancy into spiritual adolescence. And hopefully you'll continue into spiritual maturity. But the world, the church, is full of spiritual children and adolescents who have not yet become spiritually mature. They don't know how to fight the good fight. They don't know how to resist Satan. They don't know how to tear down the strongholds of Satan. They don't know how to combat generational sins in the bloodline. They don't know how to involve themselves in spiritual warfare and come away from it victorious. And that's tragic. That's tragic. You have to have a better understanding of the heart of God. You've got to have a better understanding of his heart. Understand what God is to you. Understand what God wants for you. Understand what your Heavenly Father wants to be to you. He wants intimacy with you. He wants intimacy with you. He wants you coming to him daily, 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 expressing your love, expressing your confidence, expressing your needs. But it's more than just expressing needs. God, give me, give me, give me. It's more than that. It's Father God. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, you became sin for me. You took upon yourself my sins. Thank you for making me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Folks, hear my heart. We're in trouble, and we need to repent. We need to become increasingly more Christ-like every day. You have to understand this. Have a better understanding of his heart. Have a better understanding of his desires and expectations. What do you see as his desire and his expectation of you? Well, let me ask you this. What do you see as his desire and his expectation for mankind, for all of mankind? I quoted this a while ago. For God so loved the world and every single solitary soul in it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me ask you this. Are you seeking intimacy with God in fellowship? Are you? Are you seeking intimacy? I mean real intimacy with God. You want to know him. You want to be sensitive to his spirit. You want to understand everything that he wants you to understand about him. You want to get to know him as best you can get to know him this side of eternity. Are you seeking that? Or can you enjoy just, let me ask you this. Can you enjoy just being with him? Just him. Him alone. No distractions. No disturbance. Can you? Do you? Do you ever just kneel down, sit down, and say, Father, I'm here to spend time with you. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to be quiet. Right now, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to wait on you. I will in a moment, Father, I'll profess my love, profess my need. But I'm just going to be with you. I'm going to spend time with you. I want intimacy with you. Do you seek more depth in your communion with him? Really getting to know him? Can you express your love to him? With liberty, can you? You see, some of you are so wounded and so bruised, and you didn't receive a lot of love, and you didn't understand love, even in your own family at times. And some of you have come through divorces, and you've been so discouraged and disappointed, and you've been wounded, you've been bruised. And you've been, oh, Father God, help me explain this to people. Some of you are so wounded and so bruised in your spirit, you really have difficulty relating to a loving Heavenly Father. But understand this, God loves you. God knows everything that's ever touched you. God knows everything that's ever bruised you. God knows everything that's ever wounded you, and he wants to heal it. He wants to heal it. He wants you to express your love to him, express thanksgiving to him, and receive his love. He wants you to receive his love. Here's what he wants with you. He wants an increasingly deeper, fuller relationship. You may be religious, but you may not be his. You may be involved in a system of religion, but you may not really be truly his. There's so much. It's not so much. You have to understand. It's not so much what you can get from him, but what you can become in him and for him. Did you hear what I said there? It's not so much of what you can get from him, but it's more what you can become in him and for him, and how you can become salt and light in your family, in your community, and in this nation that so desperately needs those who are salt and light, who have access to the throne of God, and who can go before the throne of God in intercessory prayer on behalf of the church, which is the body of Christ on earth today, which is the bride of Christ on earth today. And I say it again in closing, he's not coming back for a whore bride. He's not coming back for a bride in bed with the world. Now, what's he going to have to do to get the bride out of the bed of the world? I don't know. But he knows. He knows how to do it. Father God, there it is. As best I can understand, it's what you gave me to give to them today. And I'm asking you, Father God, to take it and birth these truths into the hearts of each and every one who has heard this. And Father, let them purpose in their heart, I will get to know my Father. I will serve my Father. I will present myself to him as a living sacrifice. And I will ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life and use my body as a temple for himself. And that he can be living, that I can be a living sacrifice on behalf of my Heavenly Father. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hearts, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And I want to close the broadcast out today with prayer. I want to pray once again for the nation, and I want to pray for you. And I want some of you who are coming through a hard time right now, you may be coming through a marital problem, you may be coming through a physical problem, an economic problem, whatever it may be. There's a reason and there's a purpose behind everything in our lives. Sometimes we bring things on ourselves because of our disobedience to the Word of God. There are times that the Lord has to allow certain things into our life to help better conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever you're coming through, know this. If you're born again, you're a child of God. You're in the family of God. And if you're not born again, understand this. God loves you. He loves you. He wants to adopt you into his family. He wants to bring you into his family, and you can only get there by receiving Christ as your Savior. A religious organization can't do it, but you're coming to Christ and saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I'm asking you to come in my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. That way, you become a child of God. Now, I'm going to close out by just praying for you. And I want those of you who are listening right now, I want you just to lay your hand on the radio as an act of your faith. I want you to lay your hand there, and I want you to confess to the Lord what you would like to have him do in your life today. What is your desire? What is your need? Tell him what your need is. Lay before the Lord. Whatever that need may be. Is it physical? Is it spiritual? Is it in the home? Whatever it may be. God is a loving Heavenly Father. Yes, he's holy God. But he's a loving Heavenly Father. He loves you. He proved that by the way he sent his son Jesus to the cross. That on that cross, Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, might become sin, might take upon himself the sins of all who would believe and all who would receive. So I'm going to take a moment, in a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Right now, you to express your heart to the Lord. Tell the Lord in the next few moments what you would like for him to do in your life. Some of you might need to say, Jesus, I want to be born again. Some of you might say, Jesus, I need help in my finances. I need help in my marriage. I need help in my home. I need help in my job. Whatever it may be, take a moment now and tell him what that need is. Express that need. He's waiting to hear from you. And trust me, I've been there too many times. God hears and answers prayer. So I'm going to close by praying for you. Have you made your request to the Lord? Have you given him your petition? Jesus is very near. Righteous Heavenly Father, oh Father God, I pray today you'll hear my prayer. and you hear the prayer of these who so desperately need some encouragement. Father, their financial needs, their economic needs, their physical needs, their marital needs, family needs. Father, there are needs of every kind in the family of God. And you're sufficient to every need. You are sufficient to every need. And in the holy and precious name of Jesus, I bring every single soul before you today involved in this broadcast. I'm asking you, my Lord and my God, to hear their prayer. I'm asking you to bring encouragement where there's discouragement. I'm asking you to bring restoration where there has been some falling away. I'm asking you to bring healing where there's illness. I'm asking you to bring the supply of that which is needed. Jesus, Jesus, hear our prayer. Father God, hear our prayer and answer this prayer, I pray, in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Glorify yourself. Glorify yourself through hearing and answering this prayer. And this I pray and ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks for being a part of Childless today. Until we get a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed. God bless.